You have power. The power to save lives. The power to defeat illnesses. The power to use games for good. You can be a hero for local sick and injured kids through Extra Life, a 24-hour gaming marathon that supports a local Children's Miracle Network hospital in your community. Join 50,000 gamers from all across the world as we battle the enemy, illnesses, and injuries facing local kids.
Play games! Heal kids!
Find out more at extra-life.org.
Justin.
Hey, Darren.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. When you take Justin from the DK podcast and you put me in the same room, you got two guys that are an irresistible force meeting an immovable object, brother. And what you got is not normal. Now, if you take his 50% chance at getting a great joke off and my 50% chance, but then you throw Chad Savage into the mix, those chances of funniness drastically go up. Welcome to week three.
Oh, but Chad Savage isn't here, brother.
Oh. No, but there is another Savage. Oh. So, if you don't remember the tease from last month.
And I didn't.
I simply said that, did I have something planned? Ooh, yeah. And not Randy Savage, no. All of wrestling in the 80s.
Yes.
That's right. We're talking the Rockin' Wrestling era, otherwise known as the Golden Era or the 1980s professional wrestling boom. And I'm going to have to be real careful to watch how many times I do the voices, because I am pretty sure I'm going to destroy my throat by the time these 15 minutes are up.
But will it be worth it?
Nothing means nothing, Justin. See? Nothing means nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. Right there. There's our teaser.
The key to a good Randy Savage promo is to say everything twice. Say everything twice. Uh-huh. So, Randy Savage, obviously one of my favorites.
You could just do the voices for the next 15 minutes and I would be pleasant. I would be pleased.
Well, you remember, this is kind of a throwback to one of our earliest Deep Cave episodes where we ended it with an inadvertent, like, Ultimate Warrior reference, and we just ended up laughing and not actually finishing the episode.
Yeah.
Load the rocket ships, but that's 90s wrestling. We're looking at 80s wrestling.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, when I say the phrase rockin' wrestling, does that evoke anything in you?
Not really, because I didn't kind of fall into it until the tail end of the 80s, early 90s.
Okay. All right. Well,
I know the wrestlers, but not the, like, spectacle.
Yeah. Well, there's two things. Early 80s, you got Vince McMahon's World Wrestling Federation. You've got the National Wrestling Alliance, and you've got a couple others, American Wrestling Association, just kind of all bouncing around. Really, when you think 80s and the wrestling in the 80s, the big thing is the WWF. NWA became WCW. We'll get there in a few minutes. But Rockin' Wrestling also refers to an animated series starring Hulk Hogan.
Okay, I did know that. Yes.
Yeah, that aired for two seasons in 85 and 86. And if anyone forgot, it was... So, you know, this was back when every celebrity had a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And wrestling was barely referenced in the show. It was just a device to determine the good guys from the bad guys. You had Roddy Piper and the other heels. A heel is a bad guy. A face is a good guy, for those of you playing at home who don't habla español or wrestlino, you know. That's actually Lucha Libre, huh? But you've got a lot of these guys who ended up becoming part of the pop culture landscape during this time period. You've got Andre the Giant, who a lot of people know from The Princess Bride. Captain Lou Albano, who a lot of people know from the Super Mario Super Show, you know. You've got Junkyard Dog, Hillbilly Jim, Tito Santana, Roddy Piper. all of these big names, and of course the biggest one being Hulk Hogan. And everyone knows Hulk Hogan by now. Even if you don't follow wrestling, you know who Hulk Hogan is. But the fun fact, though, really all of this, this big boom in the 80s is partially Wendy Richter, singer, also former professional wrestler. And she teamed up with, who was it? Cyndi Lauper in a couple of things. And Cyndi Lauper ended up becoming interested in pro wrestling as a result. Now, Richter never had a professional singing career, but she did end up having a professional wrestling career. And before long, Cyndi Lauper ended up meeting Lou Albano in the early 80s, and Lou was her dad in the Girls Just Want to Have Fun music video. And they started talking to Cyndi Lauper about, hey, why don't you show up at this new thing we're doing? We've never done it before. In fact, they've never had a sports thing like this before called pay-per-view, where we're going to run it closed circuit in movie theaters across the country. And why don't you show up for it? We're calling it WrestleMania. Cyndi Lauper does. She's in Wendy Richter's corner. And really, WrestleMania is where wrestling kind of jumped into the public conversation, because you've got Muhammad Ali there as a guest referee. You've got Liberace as a guest ring announcer for the first WrestleMania. And guest timekeeper. And he brought this tiny little dinner bell to ring the bell instead of like... Oh my God, it was... but you could actually kind of trace the boom back a little bit earlier to the 1980s. The National Wrestling Alliance, based in the Midwest. In fact, even going back to the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of wrestling in the St. Louis area at the old Chase Arena. And the NWA had this big feud between Jerry the King Lawler, who's a wrestler from Memphis. He's also an artist. He's done a lot of work on Superman, in fact. Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman.
Oh, yes.
Made famous in the movie Man in the Moon. Yeah. And Kaufman really kind of helped get a lot of eyes on wrestling by doing this shtick where he... this was back when everyone thought wrestling was real, signed up to show up at these wrestling shows and only wrestled women.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you know, Lawler eventually got into a fight with him, gave him a pile driver during a match in 1982. They got into a fight on the David Letterman show.
Slapped
and before him, long,
he fell out of the chair. Yep.
And before long, modern day pro wrestling was just skyrocketing. Now, I've said it before on the podcast that I think it's a wonderful form of storytelling that combines, you know, live action storytelling with a stunt show with some incredible athleticism. Fun fact, I tried to get into the wrestling biz back when I was in high school. Didn't pan out for me because I'm not 6 feet tall. So I couldn't even get someone to give me a look. But I've always just kind of been enchanted by it as a result.
From Illinois, the diminutive dynamo, Darren!
Really, when people think Hulk Hogan, they always think of World Wrestling Federation, Vince McMahon, and all that. But the fun thing is Hogan actually rose to prominence in a company that really kind of went away before WWF was like on the rise. Hogan wrestled for a company called the American Wrestling Association. They did weekly shows in Chicago and Denver, kind of hanging around the Midwest and all that. And, you know, Hogan became the top babyface there. Eventually, the fans got frustrated with Hogan always getting close but never winning the big title. And so eventually he left. He got offered an obscene amount of money to go to Vince McMahon's World Wrestling Federation. And this was back when wrestling companies kind of stayed to their territories. They were called, territories, for lack of a better term. You had like the NWA in the Midwest. AWA is up in like the Chicago, Detroit area. WWF at the time was over in the New York area. And they kind of honored each other's boundaries until McMahon got a hold of Hulk Hogan and then said, you know what? Forget all of that.
and just started buying up his competitors left and right and moving into their territories and buying, you know, like exclusive rights to have shows in certain arenas. To this day, no other wrestling company can have a show at Madison Square Garden because of just how vicious, you know, Vince was in obtaining these. And it's really kind of interesting that this is what we're talking about today, because WWE just merged with the UFC like last week. It's no longer its own thing anymore. It's now part of the TKO group. So it's, you know, kind of good timing there. It wasn't planned. But when I think about wrestling in the 80s, because that's when I really got into it, obviously Hulk Hogan, that was really the reason that it got the huge uptick that it had. He had the marketability. He was in the movie No Holds Barred. He was in Rocky 2. Fun fact, when he went to do the Rocky movie, he was working for Vince's dad, who was the former owner of World Wrestling Federation. And Vince's dad told him, if you do the movie, I'm going to fire you because we don't want you to do that. We want you to stick here. He goes, does the movie, gets fired, goes to work for AWA, comes back to WWF, and then they give him his own movie with No Holds Barred. Which, by the way, is terrible.
I was going to say, what's better, Rocky 2 or No Holds Barred?
I will take Thunder Lips over whatever the hell we got with No Holds Barred. but I do own it. But
no
yeah.
No Holds Barred or Mr. Nanny?
Mr. Nanny. Mr. Nanny. but yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of people have warm memories for like the Attitude Era in the 90s, over in WCW when the NWO and Sting were a thing, Sting with his black and white face paint. Mm-hmm. But Sting got his start actually in the AWA, just like shortly after Hogan. He was a tag team partner with the Ultimate Warrior at the time called the Dingo Warrior. That's a thing. I'm not going to get into that too much, but I wish I could properly, in like a 15-minute time span, contextualize just what its appeal for me as a kid was. I think it was because of these larger-than-life athletes that were very cartoony. It's a lot more realistic now.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a chance to see like either All Elite Wrestling, which is the number two promotion, or WWE, which is still around, if you get a chance to watch it now, WWE is still a little bit more in the cartoonish sector, but they try to at least adhere to some form of reality. Whereas back in the 80s, you had Jake the Snake Roberts, which was a guy who had a snake in a bag, and he would mm-hmm. bring the snake to the ring. And it was a real snake. It was a freaking python.
Uh-huh.
Fun fact. jumping around, fun fact. There was a show where the snake bit Randy Savage on TV. I had him tied up in the ropes and it bit him on the arm, right? And the way that they've told the story, and by the way, if you're looking for a good docuseries, Dark Side of the Ring has some great documentaries on all of these wrestlers I'm going to be mentioning. Randy Savage, while they're talking about this spot, he demands that Jake has the snake bite him first.
I've heard because, this story.
Because he's like, I don't know, it could be poison. And Jake's like, no, it's not. It's not poison. It's been devenomized. And he's like, well, then you're going to make it bite yourself first. And he did. And wrestlers are weird, man. It's a very carny thing.
I heard, I heard that story before. And what I remember after that is Jake was pissed that he had to have the snake bite him.
Yeah.
And so when it was time for him to bite Savage, he smacked the snake across the face and then put him against Savage just to make it that much meaner.
It bit so hard, but like
I bet.
even as a kid, like I had a pretty good idea that wrestling was, you know, predetermined. But there was just enough of a stake there where I could suspend my, you know, disbelief. Another one, Ted DiBiase. Do you remember the Million Dollar Man?
Yeah,
who's a preacher now? But which is funny, but Ted DiBiase. He would show up in this stupid sequined tuxedo that you could tear away, and he had this belt that was just nothing but dollar signs, which apparently cost more than his house, true story, because it was literal diamonds and gold on this belt. And he would, his whole tagline was everybody's got a price. So he would ask people in the audience to, like, I don't know, jump on a pogo stick or like do something for an amount of money. And the most famous instance is he gets this kid out of the crowd and he gives him a basketball. And he's like, if you can dribble this ball 10 times, I'll give you $100. And the kid gets to 9 and he kicks the ball away. And, you know, sometimes in wrestling, they use what's called a plant, like someone who's already been arranged to be there, that kind of thing. This kid was not a plant. So this, oh my God, the audience was going to murder Ted DiBiase. It was great.
Oh, man.
Although, in case you guys are worried about something that happened 30 plus years ago, they did end up finding the kid after the show and giving him the money. So, you know, everything worked out. Oh, who else? I could talk about so many people. I mean, I was a Hulk Hogan kid growing up.
What about The Undertaker?
The Undertaker, yeah. That was like early 90s when he showed up. He wrestled in WCW. I don't remember the name that he had, but I remember it was a bad gimmick.
I was thinking it was earlier than that, because just the image of him and Paul Bearer coming out just seemed so 80s.
Yeah, well, the fun thing about The Undertaker is that... his first manager for like all of one single match was Brother Love, this weird televangelist type character. And then they're like, nah, that's not going to work. A lot of our viewers live in the South. So they ended up teaming up with Paul Bearer, which is a much better fit.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, actually 1990 was when Undertaker showed up.
Okay.
87 through 89, he was at WCW and he played Mean Mark Calloway. Which was just a big guy in like a denim vest or whatever. And they weren't going to like renew his contract. So he went to WWF and Vince McMahon, who's notorious for like outlandish ideas, like, well, goddamn, pal, how about we make you a zombie? It worked. It worked. I mean, he became one of the most iconic characters they've ever had.
Yeah.
What else? Who else? I mean, there was. Sting was late 80s over in the WCW. Ric Flair, everyone knows Ric Flair.
Woo!
Yeah. Really, though, for me, I was a Hogan kid for the most part. It wasn't until Ultimate Warrior started building up in like the late 80s, early 90s, and then I liked him for a bit, and I liked Sting, obviously. But really, I keep coming back to these glory days of wrestling because... the two main promotions, the NWA, later WCW, and WWF, gave you so different of a product. Because WWF, like I said, you've got like these cartoony characters. There's a guy called Tugboat. I just knocked my microphone over. The guy is like...
That's how excited he is.
I don't know if excited's the word. The guy was like close to 400 pounds, right? And he wore like a classic sailor's uniform, like a red and white striped tank top, white pants, and a little sailor's cap. And he would come to the ring and toot toot, and then he'd just run over people. And then there was Earthquake, who was that, but a bad guy who wore like a blue singlet thing, and his finishing move was he would sit on you. And you would think, oh, well, that doesn't sound bad. Guy was 420 pounds. Yeah, that's going to hurt.
What about Sergeant Slaughter?
Sergeant Slaughter. Oh, my God. The only pro wrestler to have a G.I. Joe figure named after them.
Yeah.
And to voice the character in that really weird as balls G.I. Joe animated movie.
And then it got weird.
And then it got weird because Desert Storm was a thing. And they needed an opponent for Hulk Hogan for WrestleMania 7. And they're like, how about we make you an Iraqi sympathizer? And the fans were so bought in.
Oh, and the Iron Sheik too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like he got death threats and it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. But he was so good at the job. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of... underestimate is how good these guys are at acting when it comes to these particular characters, because it is live performance in addition to this, you know, the choreography and all that jazz. There is like a real live improv element to all of this where you're going out in front of thousands of people week after week, and you're having to just kind of improv on the fly for a lot of this stuff. And it's not a glamorous lifestyle. I mean, yeah, there's a decent amount of money involved, but these guys, John Moxley currently wrestles for AEW. He said in a recent interview, guy's in his mid-30s. He has the arthritis of a 70-year-old man. So anyone who says that, like, oh, that's not really doing any damage to their bodies, clearly hasn't been paying too much attention. I do really recommend the Dark Side of the Ring series. But, you know, obviously, we can't wrap up this talk about wrestling in the 80s, just kind of walk down memory lane, without talking about the macho man, Randy Savage.
Yeah.
A guy who's so iconic that there is a video game that came out in 2023 with him as like almost the final boss type character. It's called WrestleQuest. It's a turn-based RPG where you want to like become the best wrestler ever, and you go to Randy Savage. And Savage is known for a lot of things. He was legitimately crazy. He did have a rap album at one point where he talked shit on Hulk Hogan. That was great. And he is known for being the most meticulous of wrestlers from this time period. His match with Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3 is seen as one of the greatest technical masterpieces in the field, and I highly recommend that if you have a chance, you should see it. But this was a match that he went over with Steamboat, like a big pad of paper and a pen, over and over, like five times every move before the match began, because this guy had such an attention to detail. And then when you watch the match, none of it looks like they are guessing. None of it looks like they are making it up on the fly. It is very to the letter. And that was the kind of wrestler that Randy Savage was. Of course, he had the ridiculous look. He had the wild hair, the beard. Fun fact, he played minor league for the St. Louis Cardinals. He for like a season. You know, the audacious robes, the voice, and the Miss Elizabeth, and the... I've shown you the Street Magic promo. Cream of the crop.
Yeah, he just keeps pulling little creamers out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. So, yeah, I guess this is more of an appreciation of their improv work.
He went on to wrestle Spider-Man, didn't he?
He did, yes. In fact, he had like a long career just so he could prepare to wrestle Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 1 when Bonesaw got you for 3 minutes of playtime.
Yeah. Bonesaw's ready.
God, such a great, great thing. And for a while, Savage and Hogan were a tag team called the Mega Powers, and they fought Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant, called the Mega Bucks. And there was a point where the guy who played Zeus showed up in the WWF as Zeus so they could do the tie-in for the No Holds Barred movie. And Tony Lister is a great guy, but a terrible wrestler, and you could tell they didn't train him at all. And really, that's it. That's just, I just had some notes like talk about 80s wrestling. Done. Because at the end of the day, I don't know what it is that, because I love wrestling to this day. I still watch AEW pretty regularly, and I see some of the clips for WWE as well. And, you know, it was something my grandpa and I watched together, and I just kind of, I guess to me, it's like a subconscious, like this is a way of keeping him close. But the storytelling, like I've said before, when the storytelling is done well, it is remarkably well. There was a recent story arc with a wrestler named Adam Page, where over the course of like 4 years, he has his first world title shot, loses it, goes into a bit of a depression, pushes all his friends away, ends up winning his friends back, defeating alcoholism, winning the world title. And it's one coherent story over the course of 4 years. You know, in 80s wrestling, not necessarily as much. But you did get that here and there. For example, 1990, WrestleMania 6, Ultimate Warrior beats Hulk Hogan in the main event of WrestleMania to win the World Championship. It is the first time that Hogan had been pinned cleanly in 7 years or something like that. So a passing of the torch kind of thing. You know, but if you were into comic books, if you were into superheroes, and if you were into sports, if you were that combination of nerd, then pro wrestling definitely spoke to you in the 80s and still speaks to me because I'm a geek, I'm a bit of a jock, and God, I love wrestling. If you get a chance to check out some old stuff or some new stuff, I highly recommend it. If for no other reason than just to appreciate the athleticism and the storytelling that these guys are putting their bodies through. So,
wrestling is fake in that it's predetermined who's going to win.
Yeah.
But the skill that these guys have and the athleticism to not get hurt is real.
Well, last time my brother-in-law was visiting with my sister and their daughter, I pulled up some wrestling because why not? You know,
why not?
They're visiting and turns out Adrian likes it.
Nice.
But the first thing he says is like, well, you know, I know it's fake, but I'm like, yes, but so is any action scene you've seen in any movie.
Yep.
And that's pretty much how you should think about it.
Yeah. It's a story with, you know, it is a story with extended action sequences.
It's a story with extended action sequences, a little bit of ridiculousness, and a whole lot of brothers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much all I got to say. I don't think I had a coherent thought like that lasted the whole time because I was just going down memory lane. But wrestling is great.
Wrestling. Wrestling.
Gotta get wrestling stories. Wrestling stories. As the turnbuckles or whatever, you know?
Yes.
Like sands through the hourglass, another week three comes to an end. Yeah. So be sure to, I'm going to have to rest my voice, but be sure to check out geekcavepodcast.com and all of your favorite podcasts.
Do you want me to finish
services.
The episode?
I got it. But you can check all of our other podcasts on your favorite podcast services, including week three, where Justin and Chad challenge each other to watch movies that the other hasn't seen, and then they talk about it, and it's great. Also, you can listen to Geek Cave Prime, which is basically our main podcast, first week of the month, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, comics, games, and movies. Of course, on YouTube, we've got the return of Retromantics. That recently Woo! Returned as Lori and I played X-Men Legends. We also have Geek Cave Plays on YouTube and on Twitch as we are gearing up for Extra Life 2023.
Still
I'm super
plenty
excited.
Of time to donate.
Yes, please do so. And you can find the donation link right now at geekcavepodcast.com or in the description for this episode of the Week 3 podcast.
How convenient.
Yeah. Oh, also join our Discord.
Yes.
Because you get early access to every podcast episode. You get to talk with us. Mm-hmm. And who knows? You might even get some other special treats here and there if I can find the time and energy to work them up. And TikTok. We've got like little previews on TikTok now. Just look for Geek Cave Darren. That's my account. And Geek Cave Justin is Justin's. I think, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't post there, but yeah.
He doesn't post there, but he likes a lot of stuff.
I do. I watch a lot of things and I like a lot of stuff.
But yeah, Geek Cave Darren on TikTok. You can find little previews of our episodes and all that stuff. And I think that covers it. So I'm down for the 1, 2, 3. And I believe it's your turn next time.
It is. And I think I got something. Yeah, I got something.
All right. Ring the bell. We'll be right back.